Hello, this is Mark. It's my pleasure to share this message with you entitled Basking in God's Love. This is the third message in my series entitled God Loves Me. It's impossible to read the New Testament and not know that we're supposed to love our brother. The reason we struggle so much with this is because we're trying to love them with natural human love. In order to truly love them as God loves them, we must first discover how much God loves us. To do this, we must first bask in His love. I hope that you enjoy this message.
We're going to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, what a pleasure it is to study Your Word and to find out all that You have made available to us in Jesus. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We welcome You, Holy Ghost. We invite You to teach us this evening. We open our hearts to You, and we believe that we're going to receive truth, and we're going to be changed by it. And right now, I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank You for the anointing of a teacher. I receive it, that, and I walk in it, and I thank You for the understanding in the hearts of the people, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking about, in the last few sessions, the love of God, and we've been doing a series about the love of God, and I tell you what, it's been a blessing to me, because He's showing me some things about His love for me that I knew this early on, and I'll be honest with you, I let it slip through my fingers, and consequently, in its place came works, and in its place came religious ideas, and it's sad because it caused me to lose my appreciation for God's love for me. That first year that I was saved, His love for me was so rich and so real to me. And it just felt like at a moment's notice that He would just wrap His arms around me. And after that time, His love never changed. It was always the same. But as I grew and developed, it was my responsibility to continue to acknowledge His love. It was almost like that first year I was in this cocoon, and it was so important for me to grow in His love. But like any child that grows and develops, there comes a place where the parent gives them a little more responsibility. And when that time came for me, it was up to me to come towards God. It was as though that strong drawing from Him wasn't, it shouldn't have been necessary. Consequently, whenever that strong drawing was not there, I'm not going to say 100% of my ideas were works-based by any means. But there was some little bit that got in that was works, that I had to earn my Father's love for me. You don't have to earn this. His love for us is unquestioning. His love for us is not based on anything that we do. He loves us no matter what. Now, I have been prefacing the teaching in this area, you know, by saying that's not a license for anyone to go and live a life of sin just because God's love is never changing for them. That's and anyone that preaches that ultimate grace idea, that's wrong. It's just flat wrong. This is not a license for you just to go and do what you want to do. See, my idea is I want as much of His love manifesting in me and through me as possible. And I want to draw so close to Him. And I'm not looking for reasons to go sin. And if that's a person's idea, you know, they need to get things straight in their life. They need to put the flesh in its place, anyone that thinks that way. Because obviously, their flesh is still controlling a good part of their life. And we're told, we're admonished to put the flesh down. And if you're doing that, and you're acknowledging God's love, you're not looking for reasons to sin. So as we've been talking in this area about the love of God, I'm just going to recap very quickly the first two messages. First one we talked about was the title of it was Because He First Loved Me. And we took that from First John chapter 4 verse 19. We love Him because He first loved us. See, and as I said that right there, I remembered actually earlier today, as a matter of fact, watching another minister preaching a message that was almost identical to the message that I preached 2 weeks ago, Because He First Loved Me. Almost identical. That really encourages me that this is what God is wanting to say to the body right now is, you know, it's not about your actions. It's not about your good works or your bad works. It's about the fact that He first loved us. He first loved me. And that's what made my love for Him possible. Had it not been for His love for me first, my love for Him would never have been possible. Because my love for Him comes from that changed heart, that reborn human spirit, the capacity to love. Because I'm not talking about humanistic love here. We're talking about God kind of love. Humanistic love is selfish, self-centered. It's all about me, 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 me. And that's not what we're talking about. And I think my opinion is that too much of the church as a whole has substituted humanistic love in place of the true God kind of love. The love that's talked about, described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Maybe we need to look at that here as we're just getting started here tonight. If you have your Bible, if you'd like to open it up with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here we have probably the best definition beginning in verse 4 through verse 8, talking about the love of God, agape kind of love, the love that only comes from God. Now here the translator used the word charity, but if you just simply think about the love that can only come from God, the love that's not humanistic, and as we read this definition, don't read it thinking about the love that, you know, just two people here on earth could have for each other. That's not what we're talking about. What this is describing is love that originates in God. And as we're born again, we have the capacity for this kind of love, to understand it, to receive it, to walk in it. And here's what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about this kind of love. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4. And I'll just use the word that they use here, charity, love. Suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself. It doesn't build itself up. It doesn't promote itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, this kind of love the world is oblivious to. They don't understand love that has no envy, that's willing to suffer for someone else. They don't comprehend that. Their kind of love is all about about myself. I have myself on my mind. Myself. That's first. That's number one. The love that God has, the love that God is, because God is love that does not have yourself on your mind. See, think about that and think about what it said here. Verse 4 again, love or charity suffers long and is kind. Suffers long and is kind. Suffers long. See, humanistic love isn't interested in suffering long. Humanistic love is about self, not suffering, not enduring anything for another person. See, when you truly have the God kind of love in you and operating through you, there's a willingness to lay down your life for someone else. There's a willingness to follow God into whatever direction that He leads you, not for your own sake, not so that if you're a minister, so that your ministry can be established or built or your kingdom built, if you will, but so that other people can be blessed, so that other people can be ministered to. Your life is not about yourself. It's about others. And here's what the Lord's showing me. See, he's showing me, and this goes into what the second message was about, which was entitled Acknowledging His Love. See, as you acknowledge that He first loved you, that you love Him because He first loved you, and you begin to thank Him, thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you for loving me. And you continue acknowledging His love for you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for me. And as you do that, and that love is established between you and God, and you're acknowledging His love for you. You're acknowledging it. You're realizing. See, it's there. But you're not recognizing it. You're not appreciating it. It's only when you begin to appreciate it and you acknowledge it that it's like He just wraps His arms of love around you, and there's a tangible something that happens. And it's hard to explain. It's hard to put words on to it. All I can say is that I've been experiencing this. As I have recognized and acknowledged His love for me, it's like He puts His arms around me and loves on me. It's so wonderful when he does that. But this is what has, from that, this is what has been happening. There has become a desire in my heart to express His love for others. And you might say, well, Mark, you're a preacher. You're supposed to love everybody. Some people are a little more challenging to love than others. And it's not something that you just decide to do. I know. I read the Bible. I can read 1 Corinthians 13. I'm supposed to love everybody. I'll just love everybody. It doesn't work that way. Just wait until you make that decision that you're going to love everybody, and then someone does you wrong. See, if it's just a decision that you made and it's not truly coming out of a heart of love that's been developed and established because of acknowledging his love for you first, and you've just made a decision, I'm going to love people. Bible said it, bless God, that's what I'm going to do. When they do you wrong, when they hurt you, that decision to love is going to truly be challenged. And you're going to discover that the love that you thought you were walking in was not truly the love that originates out of the heart established in the God kind of love. And when you do establish this relationship, and I'd say establish, but acknowledge is a better word. When you acknowledge this relationship and you're acknowledging his love for you, and it's the something, this love is like developing, and the understanding of his love is developing, recognition of his love is developing in you. As that happens, your ability to love others, it seems to just multiply. I've noticed for myself, having done this now for just a short period of time, that my thoughts are beginning to be more about loving other people. And not to say that I didn't think that before. I don't want you to get the wrong impression. But it seems to have taken a higher place in my priority list. How's that? Seems like loving others has jumped up on the list of priorities. It was there, but it was kind of, at some points it was a little more buried underneath making Mark happy. And it seems like the more that I acknowledge my Father's love for me, the higher that the love for other people is jumping up on the priority list. And the things that we do to make Mark happy seems to be dropping down the list. And I'm beginning to see people differently. How about that? I'm beginning to look at people more so the way God looks at them. And I see people as more as he sees them and less as how Mark sees them. Because see, our Father loves each and every person. The good, the bad, the ugly, the nasty, the mean, the corrupt, the destitute. You know, you just name it. You name the kind of person. Good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter. His love for each one is equal. And Jesus died on the cross for each and every one of them. Now, they're going to have to come make a step in his direction. They're going to have to acknowledge what Jesus did, make Jesus Lord of their life, in order to begin for them to be able to receive and acknowledge and walk in the love that God already has for them. But see, they're not born again. Their father's still the devil. Until they make that decision to receive what Jesus did for them on the cross, to make him the Lord of their life. Once they do that and they're born again, they now have the capacity within themselves, within that reborn human spirit, to appreciate God's love, acknowledge it, to walk in it, for it to develop on the inside of them. But until that time, he loves them, but they're oblivious to it. And so, and here he sends us out like sheep to the slaughter. Go love these people that I love, that I've sent Jesus to die for. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. Go and share this good news. And you know, if you're like me, you look at them, well, I think I'll go preach to the ones that are nice to me. Yeah. Well, what about the rest of them? Well, let's see. The rest of them. See, that's where the problem is. If you're just gonna share this with the people that are nice to you, you may have a real short list there. He wants us to share this with everyone. He wants us to share this regardless of how they look, regardless of what they do, what they say, how they treat us. Love them. You know, I still get this picture of Stephen when he's stoning them, when he's being stoned in the book of Acts. I still get this picture of Stephen. And if he could have just raised his hands up just for a second and said, hold on, just hold your stones just for a second. You know, I want to just let you know I love you. He would have walked over to the people that had been throwing stones at his head. And I'm confident of this. And he would have wrapped his arms around them and said, I love you. And I don't hold this to your charge. Because he said that. Father, don't hold this to their charge. He said that. So this was in his heart. He wasn't putting this on. He wasn't trying to work up love. See, that's what I think most Christians do. When they see 1 Corinthians 13, oh, they get a little conviction in their heart because they know they're not walking in this. So they try to work it up and they try to do good things. That's like the elder brother in the prodigal son parable. You know, the prodigal son, he receives his inheritance. He goes and he spends all of it, and he's destitute, eating the hog food, collects himself, goes back to his father's house. He knows at least the servants are treated better than he was there in the hog pen. Goes back to his father. His father had been looking for the prodigal son to come back because he saw him from afar off. So the dad was waiting for that prodigal. He was looking for that prodigal. And he comes back and he puts a ring on his finger, puts the robe on his back, treats him like the son that he is. But what about that elder brother? What about him? Where was he? Why wasn't he sitting there on the porch with dad? Why wasn't he out trying to find where that younger brother was? Well, the reason why is because he was out in the field trying to earn something. He had the works idea because he did not appreciate the love that his father had for him. And you can see that when you see the response that he had when he was questioned by his father, why won't you come into the feast? Your brother who was dead is alive. Because dad counted him as dead, and he's alive again. Why don't you come to the feast? And the reason why, the elder brother, he said, you never had a feast for me. You never killed the fatted calf for me. And I've been out there working and slaving. Right there, you see his mentality. His mentality is, everything is about my actions. He didn't understand the love of the Father. He thought this was about trying to earn it. And that is the mentality that most of the church has. That God will love me and give to me if I do something. And they miss the verse in 1 John 4:19 that we started this out with. We love him because he first loved us. It had nothing at all to do with our actions. Our salvation was because he first loved us, not because we did anything. We couldn't do enough. We couldn't do enough to deserve what Jesus did for us. And see, as that love, as we bask, you like that word, in His love, as we appreciate His love for us, as we acknowledge His love for us. And when I taught that second message about acknowledging His love for us, we went to Ephesians chapter 3. And we looked at what Paul said in his prayer as he prayed for the church at Ephesus, chapter 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that's what we should strive for. Not to try and earn His love. See, that's where the mistake is made. See, that's where the devil lives, right there. Trying to get us to earn something that already belongs to us. Instead of trying to earn it, we need to be praying, God, I want to comprehend this love, the depth of it, the breadth of it, the height of it, the length of it, because I know it's never ending. And it's not something that you can recognize or understand with your natural mind. It's only perceived by your spirit. But I want that revelation of His love. And what I'm finding for how the Holy Ghost has been teaching me this has been to thank Him for loving me. Father, I thank You. Thank You for loving me. I acknowledge Your great love for me. I appreciate Your love for me. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank You for loving me. Thank You for loving me. And I'll tell you right now, if you want God to show up in your life, begin to do that. And you're going to see God show up. And as he manifests Himself in, on, and around you, what you're going to begin to recognize and what's going to become more important to you than what it was before is going to be other people. It seems like to me that as the love Him for us, that it seems like it goes in a horizontal direction, us for other people. And a lot of times, it seems to me like we've put the cart in front of the horse and tried to love other people without first acknowledging and appreciating. Appreciating His love for us individually. And without first doing that, and just trying to go and, I'm just going to love people. I just make the decision. I'm just going to love people. You're going to find that was a decision made out of your mind. And you're going to find that people are going to irritate you. And they're going to make you upset, and you'll have an end to that love, because that's not the love that originates from God. So in this lesson tonight, what we're talking about and what we're going to look at scriptures regarding is going to be the love that goes from us out towards other people. Because, you see, that's what Jesus told us, that we should expect, that was our responsibility. And in order to minister to other people, that love has to be there. It's, you can't manufacture it. You can't just want to love people, try to love people. No. There has to be a wellspring that comes up from the inside of you that's just bubbling over with love. And from that wellspring, where that love is just pouring out, you can minister to other people. But if that wellspring isn't there, if you haven't taken time to invest in that appreciation, acknowledging God's love, and you try to just do it because God's word says it, and I admire you for trying to do it, but without tapping into His love and cultivating that, the love that He has for you, and cultivating that appreciation for it and acknowledging it, you won't last. You just won't last in your own ability. So let's look at some scriptures here, some verses, which deal exactly, specifically with what I'm talking about. I've got a few points here I want to read. Something happens on the inside of us as we acknowledge God's love for us. We begin to realize that we had nothing to do with who we have been made to be in Christ. See, that's the first thing. You're going to realize, I had nothing to do with this. He first loved me. I love Him because He first loved me. I didn't have anything to do with who I am now. So consequently, I couldn't earn any of this. And as you appreciate that point right there, something seems to happen inside of us. And it's like an awe for me. I've just been in awe that He could love me that much. I truly have. It's like there's just no words at times that God could love me that much. And you want to try to earn it. You want to try to do something. Do something, Mark. Do something to earn this love. Can't. You just can't. And when you try to, you're wrong. All you can do is thank Him for it. Oh, thank You for loving me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You. And even when I say, I love You, it's like, I love You, but I know that You love me so much more. And it's very humbling. Very humbling. And I can understand why that feeling is there of wanting to try and earn it. I can understand why you want to try and do something to deserve it. The fact of the matter is, you never can. And for some people, it's a struggle. They don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But some people, maybe they have low self-esteem. Maybe they've gone through life and they've always, you know, felt like the odd man out. Maybe they were abused. You know, a whole host of things. And now they come to God and here is love. God is love. Here's love saying, I've done all of this for you. And they look at this and I mean, it truly is too good to be to true, but it is true, but it seems like it can't be. And so you have this poor person who's always, I mean, they've been kicked from pillar to post, and now you're telling them, God Almighty has loved you this much that he gave Jesus to die, his only begotten son, to die for you because he loves you. And the struggle that's there to receive that, to believe it. Well, first the place that you have to start is the place of faith. Father, I'm going to acknowledge this. I'm going to accept this strictly by faith, because I can't understand how you could love me this much. But I thank you that you do. And you accept by faith what the Word of God says. Because it tells us that he first loved us. And it's the reason for all of this. So you first have to make that step of faith. I believe this because the Word of God says it. And when you make those steps and begin to, your mouth, the words of your mouth begin to line up with what the Word of God says about you. And you confess it, whether you feel like it in your soul is irrelevant. But use your authority through the spoken word to begin to speak those faith-filled words and begin appreciating his love until that revelation is birthed inside of you of his great, great, great love for you. Hallelujah. Let me read a few more notes here. We could not earn our standing in Jesus. We did not deserve it. But he loved us first. Our first step toward God enabled him to begin revealing his love to us by continuing to acknowledge God's love for us. A love for others will begin to emerge. You know, I've heard Christians talk about, you know, having difficulty loving their brother, loving other people. And from the verses that we're going to read here, I mean, we're admonished to love our brother. So why is that such a challenge? Well, the challenge is because the love of the Father's has not been truly appreciated in that person's life. Because it's only when that happens and the love goes horizontal towards others that you begin to look at people through God's eyes instead of your own. As long as you're looking at your brother or people through your own eyes, you're going to see all their imperfections. And you're going to be the one making the decision. Well, you know, that person right there, I'm not going to witness to that person. I mean, look at them. You know, you've put yourself in God's place. You're making the decision. See, God already did everything. And all he wants us to do is go tell them. And we're deciding for people. And that's wrong. And it's just flat wrong. And I point to myself. I'm guilty. And I've repented before God. Because I haven't loved people the way I should. And the reason why is because I haven't appreciated how much he loved me first. But now that I am, and I'm seeing that this is what's been lacking in my own life, and I'm cultivating this appreciation for his love for me, it's doing something for my love for other people. They're starting to change. I'm starting to see beyond the person that's standing in front of me, and I'm seeing them as the person that Jesus died for, that Jesus shed his blood for. I'm seeing them through God's eyes instead of my own. And now look at some of these verses here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So what is he saying here? If we don't love our brother, if we don't have love for our brother, I mean, we're like a person that's not even born again. See, a person that's not born again, they don't have the God kind of love at all. So if we don't love our brother, then we're acting just like them. Whew, that's strong. Then verse 11, the next verse, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. This is the message, that we should love one another. Well, Mark, that's a struggle for me. I love God, but I don't really care for people very much. And the only thing that I can tell you, just based on what I have been receiving from God here lately, is this. If you will appreciate his love for you, if you'll acknowledge it, if you'll just bask in his love for you, there'll be something that stirs inside of you for other people. Glory to God. And you'll want to share the love of Jesus with them, even when they're mean to you, even when they cut you off in traffic. I mean, you know, what we see in the life of Stephen, that's the kind of love that we're all supposed to walk in. And the reason that we don't is because we have not yet appreciated how much our Father loves us. We've not yet basked in his love for us. Hallelujah. Let's read another verse here. We go on to 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Now look at this. This is verse 16, 1 John 3:16. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brother. Yeah, you think about the people that you have seen who have answered the call of ministry, gone to foreign countries. In some cases, they never came back. Or if they did come back, they came back in a box because they lost their life there. And you look at that in admiration. And in so many cases, you know, the people, they could admire that from a distance, but for themselves, they could never see themselves doing the same thing. They think that that person was special. The person wasn't any more special than we are. The only difference is that person, in order to really, truly be able to lay down your life for your brethren, there has to be such an appreciation inside of you for God's love for you. That he loved you and he made all of this available for you because of his great love for you. And as that's established, then you can answer the call and it won't be in works, where you're trying to earn something from God. It'll be out of the purest of pure motivations. And what is that, Mark? The motivation of love. There's no other motivation other than love that is truly pure. It's only love, the God kind of love, not humanistic love. The God, the agape love. The love that you do what you do, not because you want to receive something in return. You do it because your Father has asked you to, and the love of your Father has so developed inside of you that you're loving your brother from that same wellspring of love. And you're willing to be subjected to whatever happens. You're willing to be hated. The verse here said to be hated by the world. See, the world doesn't understand this kind of love. To the world, this is crazy. Who lays down their life for anybody else? You know, it's all about me, me, me. I get all I can, and I can all I get, and I set all my can. That's the world's idea. That's not God. That's not God's idea. And if we're truly going to be God's hands in the earth, we're going to be his vessels in the earth that he's able to operate through, then it's going to require his love in us loving others. And I know it seems like a very simplistic message, but the gospel is simple. It really is. You know, the idea that we have to have one more great revelation, you know, all that kind of stuff is just a lot of soulish garbage. Honestly, it's where you're trying to elevate the soul, trying to, if you really could get down to what was in the heart of that person, you probably would find out that there's envy, strife, and division, that the person is really wanting the attention drawn to themselves. Look at me, look at me, look at me. I've got another great revelation. The gospel's simple. That we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourself. And we go tell our neighbor that Jesus died for them, that he gave his life for them, and give them that opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of their life. Let's look at a few more verses. In 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. You know, I think next week we're going to talk about fear and how perfect love casts out fear. And the reason why that there people live in that kind of fear is because they haven't yet had the love of God developed on the inside of them. They haven't yet spent the time to cultivate the relationship with their Father where they're appreciating his love for them, where they're acknowledging his love for them. And consequently, you know, where that perfect love doesn't exist, the enemy has the opportunity to sow the seeds of fear. See, the opposite, anytime you see those two diametrically opposed forces, faith, fear, love, hate, you're seeing the enemy at work. So if you have the God kind of love, his love for you develop, manifesting, and you have such an appreciation for his love for you, that shuts the door to the enemy and to him sowing the seeds of fear in your life. See, if you're walking in that kind of fear, it's simply because you don't know how much your Father loves you. Maybe you're still trying to earn his love. Maybe you just think that you're just not worthy. You don't deserve it. None of us deserve it. None of us were worthy. He made us worthy. He made us righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He made us that way. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't have made ourselves righteous. But he made us righteous. So get that thought out of your mind about the unworthiness. And the only way that you do that is through the cultivating of the appreciation of his love for you. You know, you're not going to just wake up tomorrow and say, oh, I'm not going to feel that unworthiness anymore. No, it doesn't work that way. There has to be an investment of your time cultivating, basking in his love for you, appreciating his love for you, just sitting there and meditating on the word that says, I love him because you first loved me. Just meditate on that. Allow that to just wash over you on the inside. You first loved me. You'll get happy. I'm telling you what, you'll get happy real quick if you allow that to wash over your spirit, man. Just saying those words, I love you because you first loved me. Perfect love casteth out fear. I refuse to be afraid. I reject fear. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your love. See, if you're focusing all your attention on his love for you, there's very little space for the enemy to come in and squeeze in that fear. Because all your attention is being devoted to his love for you. See how that works? Well, I got to worry a little bit. You got to be responsible. And I'm not saying don't be responsible for, you know, whatever you need to be responsible for. But if you think that sitting there and worrying and fretting is being responsible, I got news for you. It's not. And it's not doing you a lick of good. What you need to do is just close your eyes and you focus your attention on your Father and you love him and you allow his love for you to wash over you. Hallelujah. I can't hardly do it without getting happy. I'm telling you. He longs for us to do this. He longs for us to give him the opportunity to love us, to demonstrate his love for us. How do you like that? To demonstrate it. And what I have done so often is I've spent all my time telling him, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I have failed to receive and appreciate his love for me, which made everything possible. It made me loving him possible. Had it not been for him loving me, I would have never been able to love him. So the point here tonight, as we come down to the end, is that as we will invest time in this established, I keep using that word, I'm sorry, in this appreciation of his love for us, and we bask in that love, as we will spend time doing that, it's going to go horizontal in our love for other people. It's going to begin to develop so that I don't have to work up trying to love my brother. That it comes naturally. See, let me read a few more verses here about loving our brother. John 13, verse 33 and 34, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. As he loved us, I have to love others like that? Oh, yes. And see, it's not have to. It's because that love is so real inside of me. And it's flowing through me to others. Glory to God. And you don't have to put this on. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to try. It just flows. And you, all you do is just let it go. Don't hold back. Amen. A couple more verses. Same book of John, chapter 15, verse 13. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Verse 17 of that same chapter 15. These things I command you, that you love one another. See, he showed us this kind of love in his willingness to lay down his life for us. And we have to be willing to lay down our lives for others. And these are going to be people that, you know, unsaved people. They tend to be not very nice at times. And not just unsaved, but everybody. We're to lay down our life for everyone, just as he did. So that's the good, the bad, the ugly. We don't get to pick. We don't get to choose. We don't say, okay, I like this guy. I don't know about this guy. Wherever he sends us, whatever opportunities come available to us, we need to allow that love to flow. That love is going to be like a magnet drawing people to Jesus. Hallelujah. See, that's where I think we have missed it as a whole. We tried to make it about our actions, and we've missed his love. And his love is the biggest drawing card. It'll draw people to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you're showing us about your love for us and about cultivating an appreciation for your love and acknowledging your love and how in doing so is going to go horizontal as we love others. As you have loved us. It's not something that we have to work up. And I pray for every person listening, where they may have a struggle with this. Father, I just ask right now for your grace to be poured out. In Jesus' name, I just receive his grace. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you. Thank you. And I believe that as we walk in this love, that we're going to be just as Jesus walking in this earth. People will be drawn to the gospel through us. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.